here this morning and to worship with you. This passage that Kevin read for us today it's an interesting one for me as it combines what seem like two different stories. Stories about how Jesus provided for the fishermen who went out and they couldn't catch any fish and he told them to cast on the other side. And then the story of how Peter and the Lord's relationship were restored. And there are two key phrases that stand out in this passage that are repeated. The first one is, "It is the Lord." And the second one is the phrase, "Feed my sheep." As we think about what it means and what life was like for these disciples, we're still in the season of Easter, and I think sometimes we have this idea that Good Friday came and Easter came and they heard that Jesus rose from the dead and they got all excited and everything was great after that. And there's kind of this collapsing that we tend to do between Easter and Pentecost of kind of envisioning with the disciples this incredible celebration the way we celebrate on Easter Sunday. And I really think if you go back and look carefully at these passages, at that time period and that space between those two events, you're going to see that it wasn't quite like that. It was more of what I see in the disciples, this sense of, okay, what do we do now? Because you see, before the resurrection, they had a pattern that was built up for thousands and thousands of years. Okay, the guy died. I guess we kind of slink away and go back to our normal lives. But when Jesus appeared and rose from the dead, it was like there was this new script written that there was nothing to compare it with from what had happened before. What do you do when the guy that you're hanging around with for 3 years dies and shows up again? What does that mean for how you live your life? Because our habits are so ingrained to avoid death, to be afraid of death, to go with the person that is actually present with you. And so there's this kind of question. And I imagine these fishermen that were sitting out there around a fire, kind of having this conversation is, okay, what do we do now? And Peter, or someone, I think Peter started it, he said, "I'm going to go fishing." And you can almost envision kind of this, I can't just sit here anymore. I got to go out and do something. We've been mulling over this long enough. And they go out, and again, they feel like maybe they're on the other side of things where nothing works. And then Jesus shows up. And I think as we look at our lives, as we look at the circumstances that we face and the difficulties we go through, the struggles, the trials, the hard parts of life, there is a sense in which this message that's here for us is that we will experience something new when God shows up. It is the Lord. And so you look at someone like Moses back in the Old Testament, and he grows up in Egypt, grows up in Pharaoh's house, and he kills someone and he's kind of banished to the wilderness. And he's there for 40 years herding sheep. And I imagine that if we think about 40 years, how far back does that go? 2007 today, we're going back to 1967. Can you imagine if your life since 1967 had been about waiting? Now for some of you or us, we haven't been alive that long, so we can't imagine that. But can you imagine that for 40 years, you had this kind of thing inside you that said, you know, I know God put me here for something. And for 40 years, you do something that you wonder, is this all there is? Is there more? Is God really going to come? And then you're out herding sheep one day and you see the bush burning. and you hear a voice coming from the bush, and the bush isn't burning up, and you take off your shoes because you're on holy ground, and you say, it is the Lord. The Lord is here. And so, we look at the story of Saul. Saul, so sure that he had set his life course, that he was following the will of God, that he was doing what God had called him to do. He was there to hold the coats of those who stoned Stephen, the first martyr in the church. He was there as with the high priest and asked them, I want to do more for God. I want to go and find these people who he saw as desecrating God's name, and he was going to hunt them down and bring them back to Jerusalem. And as he went on that journey to Damascus, a light came from heaven and shone upon him. And he fell to the ground. He closed his eyes. And when he opened them, he couldn't see. And again, that voice said, it is the Lord. Jesus is the one that appeared. And my question for you today is, are you in a position where you are waiting for God to show up? I heard a sermon a couple, a pastor and his wife, were talking about kind of showing how their relationship, what romance was like and what it meant to look for someone to marry and all those kinds of things. And they said the best predictor of the kind of person you will marry is kind of character that you have that you bring into a relationship. And one of the most important things that you can cultivate, whether you're getting ready to be married or you're already married, is how can you be a person of character? A person who is modeled their life after Jesus Christ. And that when you do that, if you want to find somebody to marry that will treat you well, that will sacrifice, that will love you, that will care for you, that will not be about themselves but be about serving you, then it means learning to be a person who is about loving others and caring for others and serving others and not being about yourself. I think in some ways, when we talk about this time of waiting, this time of sitting and wondering, when is God going to show up? That time is about cultivating character. The time is about what Saul did after Jesus appeared to him. He went into a period of preparation and teaching. He allowed someone to shape his life and to reorient his thinking. The disciples, as they were waiting, they waited in the upper room and they gave time for things to emerge and to come. And one of the temptations that we have in the middle of a period of waiting is that we want to force things to happen a certain way. So we start to push and we get out of a mode of waiting for God to show up, and we begin to say, I've got to step up and make it happen, and I'm going to force things, and we end up walking over other people and disregarding caring for them and loving them. It's interesting to me that as Jesus was on the shore, he was there by the fire, and there are two images of fire in the story about Peter. Peter, first of all, it was a gathering around the fire in which he denied knowing Christ. And it was there that they said, well, don't you know him? And he said, no, I don't know anything about him. And again, in a fire where they had gathered around and Jesus offered food to Peter. He showed them where the fish were and they ate together. And you see in here, when we experience betrayal, when we experience a loss of relationship, that there is a sense in which the restoration comes back to what Jesus talks to Peter about, which is feeding. Are you willing in this waiting period to continue to feed each other? You see, in Revelation, some of you studied this in Sunday school this morning, and it's worthy as the lamb that was slain. And it's interesting that phrasing is there, that the one who will have power and control, the one who will take dominion over the earth, is the one who was wounded and slain, and in the end, he is still shown with that image. We as followers of Christ are also called to be those lambs that are slain. To be those who would let go of our stuff, our rights. Who would be willing to say, I lay it down. And what I'm going to do is to wait and to feed. When we look at how God will intervene, the question comes, what else do we do while we wait? We can talk about cultivating our character, becoming more like Christ. But we also see the statement of Jesus where three times in a frustrating way, Jesus says, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes." "Feed my lambs." He says again, "Do you love me?" Again, "Feed my sheep. Take care of them." "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." Now imagine if you were in Peter's shoes and Jesus kept saying this over and over again. And the frustration that you might feel. And one of the things we notice in our world today is that so many times when we talk about loving God and loving Christ and proclaiming ourselves as Christians, having the name of Christ on our life, that it often comes to be about believing certain things or having certain moral stances or all those kinds of things. And that's what the world sees. And it's interesting to me that Jesus comes back to this very statement and he says, "Do you really love me?" And he says, "Here is the evidence that people are going to know that you are one of those who loves me. Feed my sheep." And so as you think about your life and that you think about maybe frustrations you deal with or things you run into and experiences that you struggle with, the one thing that you can count on is that if you want to continue to walk in the path of Jesus Christ, it means to continue to be feeding each other the life of Christ. It doesn't mean disengaging. It doesn't mean absenting yourself because of frustration. It means continuing to say, okay, how can I feed? And one of the questions I want to ask this morning is how do we feed? What are the ways that if we experience Christ's call in our life, that we can feed each other? And you can throw them out, things you think of. What does it mean to feed each other? Obviously, one example is to pick up somebody's spoon at a potluck meal, scrape some food off their plate and stick it in their mouth. Mandy still likes when we do that for her. What was that, Bob? Open the door for them. Okay, there's one example of feeding each other. What other things could we do? Encouragement. Speaking words of encouragement to each other. Friendship. Being together and doing life together. Making that a priority. What other things can we do to feed each other?
Bless each other.
Bless each other. To ask for God's goodness and life to be present in another person next to us. What else can we? Pray for each other, yeah. To remember to lift each other up in prayer. What else can we do? We're just getting started here. Share each other's burdens. When someone's hurting, listen, care, understand. Help each other. Find out what needs are there and find a way to step in and assist them. How else do we feed each other? Cheer each other on. Be the cheerleaders for each other. Yeah. What else? The reason I think this list has to be so broad is because God created each of you differently. And one of the challenges that's there for you in your life is that if you've been placed here as you have a seat among us this morning, you have a reason for being here. You are a fulfillment of the promise that God created us
to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. From Ephesians 2:10, you are God's workmanship. You are here because God placed you here for a reason.
And in doing that, one of the things that happened is he gave John Blocker a set of gifts that are unlike Donna's. And so not all of us are like Donna, not all of us are like John. Each of us, in our own way, carries this style, this way of being, this natural response to the world around us that God has placed within us from the beginning. And so one of the things that is so important in the church is that we begin to carry this in such a way that we think feeding might mean preaching. And we think, I don't feel like I can preach, so I must not be very important. I've heard people say that. But the reality is, it's not about everybody doing the same thing. Some will be given the gift of teaching and preaching. Some will be given the gift of administration or the gift of encouragement, the gift of helps, the gift of simply praying and interceding in the heavenly world. So you see, as you're here this morning, no matter your situation in life, how you're doing, what you're doing, you have been placed here for a reason, to feed my sheep. And Jesus says to each one of you, in a very direct and personal way, do you love me? Would you say yes? And then he says, feed my sheep. If you love God, feed his sheep. If you're going through a struggle, if you're experiencing discouragement, can you say it? Feed my sheep. If you're experiencing a time when you feel like your health difficulties are getting the best of you, feed my sheep. If you're going through a time when you wonder why are you stuck in something, in a setting, in a house, in a place, or in a job. And if you're in a place where you think, God, are you going to use me in a new way at some point? What is going to happen? When are you going to show up? God says to us, feed my sheep. It is the Lord who will emerge. And what the Lord will say is, feed my sheep. That's God's call for all of us. It doesn't matter if you sit over here or back there or on this side or over there. God calls us to feed each other. I'd like to invite you to pray with me at this time. Lord, you call us your lambs, and you are the lamb that was slain. Lord, so many times to bless, to encourage, to befriend, to lift up in the midst of difficulty, it can be hard to do. It feels like being slain. And yet in the middle of that, you call us when we betray. When we deny knowing you, you simply come back and you ask us again to express your love by feeding each other. Lord, may you walk with me. May you walk with this congregation in the journey that we have before us. Help us to see ways that you will emerge, that you will show up. You will do something powerful. Help us to be people of character and people of love as we feed each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to invite the praise team to come on up, and we will sing some songs. If anybody would like prayer, you're free to come up here for prayer, and I'll invite Jim and Faith, if you wouldn't mind going to the back, and they can also pray with you back there. So let's stand as they come up, and we'll sing together.